Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. I must apologize first and foremost for dashing out of the service so quickly last week before I got the chance to catch up with many of you. I missed catching up with you, speaking with you in the lobby like I usually get to do. I'm thankful that Rihanna, my wife, and the deacons were there to let you know that we're thinking about you and that we're glad you're here. As a repayment of sorts, as an apology, I'd like to give you a report on what I did last week. Thanks, Anita. The plane I rushed to last week was a plane at Reagan Airport that flew directly to Birmingham, Alabama. In Birmingham, I got to gather with my CBF Fellows cohort. CBF Fellows is a clergy support group for pastors in their first 5 years of full-time ministry. And over 2024 and 2025, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, our denomination, has graciously paid for us to gather, to learn from great ministers and from one another, and to have a lot of fun. This group has been so valuable to me in the past couple of years, they have become some of my best friends very quickly. Needless to say, we had a great week together. One of the most transformational moments of the trip happened on Tuesday when we went to the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. How many of you have ever been to the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute? Yes, a couple of you. If you haven't been there yet, I highly recommend it, especially if you're able to get a guided tour like we did. If you didn't know, the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute sits right across from the 16th Street Baptist Church, the site of the abhorrent church bombing that killed four innocent black girls for no other reason than the color of their skin. The ones who were murdered that day were Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, and Carol Denise McNair. The bombing was carried out by a member of the KKK. To say the least, it's a spot filled with history and meaning, and for me, it was quite a spiritual experience. Inside the Institute, there's a mural that commemorates these four young girls in a very special way among other figures of the civil rights movement. I've actually got a picture of it. I hope you can see it pretty well. The mural was striking. That's our tour guide right there. It's completely black and white, except for four spots of color along the top of the mural. These spots of color are beautiful butterflies. Beautiful, beautiful butterflies. Our tour guide explained that the muralists selected butterflies to represent them because they symbolize transformation. And transformation was one of the themes touched upon in the eulogy for three of these young girls given by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As he explained that these girls would be agents of social justice and civil rights, as he laid these girls to rest, King said, quote, "Good night, sweet princesses. Good night, those who symbolize a new day." In his representation, the muralist understands that butterflies are among the very few things in our world that can literally transform from one thing into something completely different. Whenever you see a butterfly, there's no longer a caterpillar anywhere on that butterfly. It's something completely and utterly different, something completely and utterly transformed. This process is called metamorphosis. And in this process, a caterpillar enters a cocoon, and what emerges is a butterfly. The more detail-oriented among us today will notice that the paraments and my stole have changed from the color green to the color white. If you didn't notice it, I forgive you. That is because today is Transfiguration Sunday.
And the color white represents the episode in the Gospels where Jesus' glory, Jesus' own metamorphosis, if you will, was revealed to Peter, James, and John, who were on the mountain with Jesus for this special moment. It's a great story. But just between us, if I can be honest, I've always had a problem with that story. Throughout most of my life, every time I've heard it, I've just thought, that must have been cool for Peter, James, and John, I guess. I wasn't there, so I don't know what it has to do with me, and I'm a pastor. I know Jesus is God, I know Jesus' glory was revealed, but that's cool, I guess. Maybe some of you feel the same way, that it's cool, but it's not really obvious what it has to do with me, what it has to do with us. Luckily for us, and luckily for me who has to preach, today's passage is also a selection for Transfiguration Sunday. In my opinion, it does a way better job of letting us know why this day matters to us. Immediately preceding this passage, Paul explains to the Corinthians why they can't allow themselves to become proud and self-congratulatory. He says, look, everything that we're doing is great. But don't think you got here by yourself. Because God is the one who has made us the ministers of the word. God is the one who has walked with us through the covenant with Moses. And God is continuing to walk with us now in the new covenant. This then leads Paul into today's passage, where he explains what God's role has been and God's role will be in our lives in the new covenant. Paul says, we have turned to the Lord and our veils have been removed, and all of us are being transformed. All of us are being transformed. And wouldn't you know it, there's a very specific word Paul uses here to talk about our transformation that's happening. And it'll sound familiar. It's the same word that Matthew uses in his account of Jesus' transfiguration. The word Paul uses here is the word where we get metamorphosis. Paul tells us today that we are the ones being transfigured like Jesus. We are being transformed. We are undergoing metamorphosis. But let's be honest. It's hard to think that we're undergoing the same transformation, the same metamorphosis that Jesus underwent in the Gospels. We aren't on top of any mountains, our garments aren't dazzlingly and blindingly white, and we don't hear the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, listen to him." But today, that's what we're told. So we might need a new example of transformation, one that isn't as in your face, one that happens over an extended period of time, but one that still transforms something into something completely and utterly different. As I said earlier, scientists use the term metamorphosis to describe the life cycle of a butterfly. Once a caterpillar eats enough and stores enough energy to undergo this complete cycle, it attaches itself to something and forms a pupa, a cocoon around itself to undergo this transformation. Before I researched this for my sermon, I didn't really know what happened once caterpillars were inside the cocoon. Did you? It turns out, in case you were wondering, that a lot of their tissues and their cells are decomposed in this time. And a lot of it actually turns into a goop. That's not the scientific word for it, if you're wondering. That's my word. The whole caterpillar that entered the cocoon slowly breaks down at points along the way. The caterpillar doesn't just snap into a butterfly. It's slow. It's messy, and it's kind of weird. I want to reflect on this specific moment in the butterfly's transformation. What I'm calling the moment of goop. See, if you were some kind of monster that went around cutting open every cocoon, if we only ever saw this much of it, we would have no idea that a butterfly would end up on the other side of this process, would we? At this moment in the process, if the caterpillar were able to see what it had become, it wouldn't believe that it was going to be anything, much less something with wings that can fly. And I think this moment is really profound, because I think many of us find ourselves in this moment of our own transformation. We find ourselves looking at who we once were, wondering who we will be in the future, and seeing that we're somewhere in the middle. It might feel kind of goopy. We might be asking ourselves, am I really going to be a butterfly? Am I really going to be transformed? We don't get the privilege of seeing what the entire process will be like. We only sit here at a single moment along the path of our transformation. Sometimes we look around us and all we can see is the goop, the mess of life, the uncertainty, the doubts. We might wonder if all this struggle and all this change is for nothing at all. We might say, how can God be transforming me in the midst of all this mess? And if you feel like that today, if you're asking something like these questions, I want to tell you something you may not know about the butterfly life cycle. The metamorphosis. This fact reveals something I think we should know about ourselves as Christians. It turns out that the caterpillar, every caterpillar, has all the pieces of a butterfly within it the whole time. From the beginning, it has everything it needs to transform. It's actually the goop that activates these pieces. It's the goop that tells these pieces it's time to come out. It's time to transform. In a weird way, I think that's what Paul is telling us this morning. I believe Paul is saying, look, we've turned to the Lord and we've got the Spirit within us. And wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom. We have freedom. Our veils have been removed. We have everything we need to be completely transformed. And then Paul says we can know we're being transformed because that's what the Spirit does. You can't have the Spirit without having transformation. So if we have the Spirit, that proves that we're being transformed right now. Paul is describing the Holy Spirit as something that dwells within us, as the peace that allows and proves that we are being transformed. And this is why Paul says we do not have to lose heart when we feel like we're in the goop. We don't have to lose heart when we don't want to come out of our cocoon. We don't lose heart because we know we are being transformed. We don't lose heart because we are headed to another degree of glory, Paul says. We don't lose heart because the same God that raised Jesus from the dead is transforming us as we speak. But let's be clear, transformation isn't easy. Like the caterpillar in its cocoon, during our transformation, we will find ourselves in some kind of goop. We will find ourselves in the places where we are uncertain and confused. We will find ourselves in the times when we don't like what we see around us. We will find ourselves wondering if we're going to make it to the other side. But as we learn from the wisdom of the butterfly, without the goop, those parts within us that spur our transformation wouldn't know that it's time to come out. Without these seasons of change and uncertainty, we would stay a caterpillar forever. Without the mess of life, we would never emerge from our cocoon transformed by the power of God's Spirit. Knowing that we are being transformed won't make it any easier. Knowing that God is forming us in this time won't make it any less difficult. But knowing that we are being transformed is a reason for us not to lose heart. It's a reason not to stop building the kingdom of God on earth. It's a reason not to stop being the village this world so desperately needs. When we look around and all we can see is the mess and the goop of life, we can be assured that God is working in us, through us, and alongside us. Soon after this passage, we find out what's on the other side when Paul tells us how we'll emerge from this process of transformation. He says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." And this is why we don't lose heart, because we know where we've been and we know where we're going. We don't lose hope because we are being transformed. As we seek to hold on to this hope, as we seek not to lose heart, we can find a great example in those who came before us. When black Americans found themselves in the wake of the senseless loss of the lives of four young girls I showed earlier, the word goop or mess wouldn't have gone far enough to describe the reality they found themselves in. But instead of giving up, instead of losing heart, Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement reaffirmed that transformation would come. They affirmed Paul's promise today that they were moving closer and closer to glory. They understood that when Paul says we, he's talking about everyone and everything. See, Paul believes that nothing is untouched from the transformation that comes from Jesus. What Jesus promises is nothing less than the transformation of our entire world, one step at a time. So when Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement faced unspeakable loss, hatred, and injustice, they didn't lose heart. They didn't lose hope. Instead, they looked beyond the mess, beyond the goop, beyond the evil we see in the world, and they saw the transformation that we are promised today, not just for us, but for the entire world. They believed that God was at work, and they believed a new day was upon us. A new day when justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. A new day when the image of God would be seen equally in every single person. They believed that their efforts were not in vain and that God would never lead them astray. They believed that they were being transformed and that they would never, ever be the same. They believed that God didn't take them that far to leave them. They believed that very soon we will be new creations living in a new creation. And even though we as a society are not there yet, we know we have everything we need to be transformed. And we know that we're closer to there than we were yesterday. And now we too are called to believe in the transformation that we are promised today. We are called to believe that we are being transformed into something brand new. Not just for us, but for the entire world. It might be slow, it might be messy, and we may not always see it, but the transformation is happening. And when the transformation is complete, when we are on the other side of all the goop and the mess of life, we will be more beautiful, more whole, and more like Christ than we could have ever dreamed. We will be able to spread our wings and soar in the freedom that only comes from the Holy Spirit, and we will reflect God's glory in a way that others can see. We will be changed forever. So friends, do not lose heart. Do not be discouraged by the mess of the world around us. Do not be overwhelmed by the struggles that you face. God is at work in you, in us, and in the world. We are in the midst of a great transformation. And though it may feel messy, though we may feel like we're in the goop, know this, that we are being transformed. May it be so. Amen. These elements of communion, the bread and the juice, represent the promise that we are being transformed. The process has been started, and because of that, we will not lose heart. At Village Baptist, we celebrate open communion, which means all who are seeking to walk in the way of Christ is welcome at Christ's table. On the night Jesus was handed over, he gathered with his disciples and he shared a meal with them before he was about to transform and change the world. And at the meal, before the meal, he took the bread. And having blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took the cup. And having blessed it, he shared it with his disciples, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." So we do. We do this believing in the transformation promised to us today by Christ and the Holy Spirit and by our loving God. Could I invite Kathleen and Joel forward, please? And could I invite the ushers forward as well to dismiss each row? Let us now rise in body or in spirit. Come to the table, friends, and eat together.